Ratchet who withers to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19.
Changed his life and he was
Lotion in his right hand. Walk up. Cherish his daughter. Being raised from the dead. In the last, goes on and on and on. But not all the stories that surrounded the life of Christ had happy endings. There are some that didn't end that way. In the story I've read is one of them. I begin by saying so much about this story is right. This man came to Jesus at the right time. Jesus was passing by that way. And this young man came at the right time. And he also came to the right person. He came to Jesus. I believe he asked the right question. He was asking about eternal life. And then he received the right answer. Jesus told him the truth of what he needed to do. But yet with all that was right, his man did the wrong thing. Instead of gladly receiving what Jesus said into his heart and putting his life in the hands of Jesus, the Bible says he turned and went away. He came so close to salvation that day. He came so close to being a Christian, but then he walked away. I believe that the tragedy of this story is still being repeated so often today. I believe there are some people even yet today that they hear the truth. They are searching for the truth. But when they hear it, they still walk away from the truth. This story presents a probing question to our hearts. And that question is there something standing between you and Jesus? Is there something, anything that has your attention more than Jesus? Is there something that you have more said you love him. Everyone, ask the question to thy heart's content. What is standing between you and Jesus? I notice, first of all, the urgency of the mission. This man had an urgent search for the truth. In a text that you just simply said, and behold, one came and said unto him. In the Gospel of Mark, 5:10, that tells the story, but Mark adds a little bit. Mark says that there came one running. It reveals that an earnest desire in his heart. This man, according to how God describes it, came running to Jesus. It must have taken a lot of courage for him to do that. At this time, Jesus was on his way towards Jerusalem, and would there be crucified. Opposition was intensifying against Jesus. It must have taken a lot of courage for him to come. But I also realized he was a young man. Bible tells us that he was a young man in the scriptures. And we realize in verse 27, the young man said unto him. We realize as the young man had all of life in front of him. I look around and I see gray hairs scattered around the room. That tells me that youth has passed and age has settled in. But this young man had all of life in front of him. He was a young man. I say to your heart, there is a danger that often shows up in you when it comes to salvation. So often they don't see salvation as important while they're young. Some say, well, I'm in my teens. I'm in the tweenies. I'm in the 30s, and I've got so much time ahead of me. So they don't see the importance of coming to Christ at an early age. I read some statistics once. And it told about a poll that asked Christians what age did you get saved? And it said that according to the poll, nearly 85% said they were saved by age 14. It also said approximately 10% were saved between ages 15 and 30. And only 4% were saved after age 30. Preacher, what you're saying, it seems as you get older, there's a God is beating that gets saved. The majority, vast majority, saved in their youth. Preacher, why are you telling us that? As a word of warning, don't put off doing business with God thinking I've got plenty of years ahead of me. When I get older, then I'll give my heart to Jesus. Then I'll serve him. This young man, he had an urgent search, but he had an urgent need. He has asked the question, what can I do? I have eternal life. What do I need to do? And all that this young man had something way down deep inside was missing. Something was lacking. I don't know if he was married or not. Bible doesn't say. I don't know what station he had as far as a job. Don't tell us that. But this young man was searching for something that satisfies the life. You realize that I imagine with this young man that when the flood was over, when his friends had gone home, I imagine when the music had all faded into silence, something down in this young man's heart said, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be something that satisfies my life. Because he realized those things didn't give him the peace in his heart that he desired and needed and wanted. So he came to Jesus with an urgent need in his life. Said, how can I know that I have eternal life? What do I have to do? And then I not only see the urgency of this vision, but I see the response of the Master as he urgently came. Honestly desiring, seeking. He first of all said, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus began to examine his heart and life. Think a man had grown up living by the Ten Commandments. Think a man had known all of those things. As a matter of fact, Jesus reminds him of a few of them. Jesus said, keep the commandments. The man said, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbors to self. Pause, time out a minute. Should they be saying, preacher, was Jesus actually telling this young man that all he had to do was keep these commandments and he would be saved and go to heaven? And in the point in all Jesus made, Jesus laid those commandments out there before him. Because Jesus knew there was no salvation possible through the Ten Commandments. But they're given to teach us that we can't do it ourselves. I'm honest with you. We all break some of those commandments along life's way. There's not a single one of us can keep them perfectly. So Jesus presented it that this young man must come say, you know what, I've failed. I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to keep all of those. That's not very answer. He said, all of these I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He said, Jesus said unto him, thou wilt be perfect. Throwing self-doubt that thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Time out again. Trust Jesus, thou saying, all you can do is sell the goods you have, give that to the poor, come be a disciple, and you will have eternal life. Isn't what Jesus was saying at all? Jesus is trying to drive home the point. The man, you're not willing to lay aside everything to follow me. Jesus realized that this young man was holding possessions. This young man wasn't willing to give up anything to come to Jesus and be saved. You see, a problem a lot of people have today. Yes, they say, I get saved if I could still drink of it. I'd come to Jesus if I could still party with my friends. I would come to Jesus so I didn't have to change the way of my lifestyle. Should I not be saved and still live like I want to live? Jesus was saying no. Jesus was saying, if you really want to be saved, if you really want to go to heaven when you leave this world and have eternal life, I've got to be first in all of your life, in all of your heart. There's a lot of people who never made that commitment to Christ because they cannot have the willingness to change how they live. Some people make the statement, boy, I tell you, life begins at 30 or 40. Life begins at the cross of Calvary. When you bow and ask Him to forgive you and save you of your sins. That's where life begins. I ask a question today. Whatever you are holding on to, instead of giving your heart to Jesus, is that worth pissing heaven over? I mean, whatever it is that you say, preacher, I did say that I can't quit doing that. I don't want to stop doing this. Is it worth missing heaven over? I see the sad mistake found in verse 22. This young man has heard the truth from Jesus. It said, and when the young man heard that, praying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I've often wondered what all was going on in his mind as he walked away. I've often wondered, maybe he was saying, if Jesus would have just told me that I only had to go to the church, if Jesus would have just told me all I had to do was donate some money to the cause. But Jesus said, you're going to have to give me your whole life. That's what it's going to take to be saved. This young man made a choice that day. He chose to turn his back on Jesus. And walk away. I've heard speculation. People have said, I don't think it's possible for him to walk away and stay away. I think there's somewhere he came back. The Bible didn't say that anywhere. As far as Scripture is concerned, this young man's never heard from again. As far as we know, this young man's probably in hell, still saying, I wanted to know the truth. I thought if I could just do certain things, I'd be okay. And he'll be in hell for all eternity. Sadly today, so many people are following that same path. They got the idea, all I'm going to do is do this and that and these good things and be kind to my neighbor and be a hard worker and drop money in the offering plate and be at church. And if I do those good things, somewhere one day my good will outweigh my bad and Jesus will let me into heaven. But heaven is gained only by the blood of Jesus Christ. By asking Him to come into our heart, save us by His grace. I asked Him the question in closing today. Is there anything standing between you and Jesus? Is there something that is keeping you from bowing before Him, confessing I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, trusting Him to change your life forever? Is there something standing between you and Jesus? Brother David wants you to get up the song. I have given you this into my heart. And I have wrestled with this. This is for days this week. Saying, God, is that really what you want me to take? I really thought, Lord, you'll make me go this way or that way. And the Lord brought my heart here. He said, you may be to make sure that there's nobody in this service that's letting something stand between him and Jesus. I have tried to say over and over again, this world is such a condition, such a place. I look for Jesus to come at any moment. I really do. And the only ones that he'll take with him are those that are saved. The rest will be left behind. Will you go with him when he comes? Or will you be left behind? While we stand, while we sing, I ask you to search your heart. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're ready to meet the Lord. As if he would come today. 100.